Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, today is the final message in our series, and it will really take your process of recovery to an entire new level. Yielding my life to the service of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7 through 10. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, for the past several weeks, we have been learning about recovery together with God. How can we overcome our hurts? How can we overcome those bad or sinful habits? How can we overcome some of the hang-ups that seem to hold us from going on and going forward for God? And I believe that Mother's Day is a very appropriate day for finishing this series, because if there is a group of people that are filled with godly grace and patience, people that want to help others overcome the trials and tragedies of life, it certainly would be the moms that are present here today. And I think about how moms have touched the lives of not only every child, but really of everyone that is used of God in a great way. I think about the words of Abraham Lincoln, who said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." I think about George Washington, who said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. all that I am, I owe to my mother. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. I certainly this morning thank God for a holy and a godly mother who brought me up in the ways of the Lord. And as we think about the influence of moms, we also must think about the fact that God intends for every one of us to have a great and godly influence on the next generation coming behind us. And that's why it's so important, moms and dads, that we experience spiritual victory and recovery over hate, over sin, over broken relationships. Because if we never recover over these situations, how can we help others to have victory in the same difficult times? Now, we have been studying this subject for the last several weeks, and in your notes, you're going to find just very quickly the things that we have learned thus far. We saw, first of all, that if we're going to recover from hurtful habits and sin of the past, we must recognize our need for God. We must come to the place where we see, God, without you, I can't make it. Without your help, there is no victory. Secondly, we must experience a meaningful relationship with God. We must come to the place where we accept Christ as our Savior and where we are born again by His Spirit. Thirdly, we must choose to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on a daily basis, we must open up our hearts to an evaluation and say, Lord, show me what needs to be changed in my life. And when He does, fifthly, we must volunteer to follow God's change. We must say, Lord, thank you for revealing to me the areas that need to be changed, and I'm not going to resist you in that. I want what you want for my life. Then we said last week or 2 weeks ago that we need to evaluate all of the influences and relationships that are in our life. Sometimes someone is having maybe 2 to 3 months with no alcohol, 2 to 3 months with no hatred, 2 to 3 months without slipping back and backsliding. And all of a sudden, a wrong relationship comes back into their life or a wrong thought pattern comes back into their life. And we need to evaluate and constantly make sure that we're on the right path where God would lead us. And then we need to renew our daily walk with the Lord. We need to keep it fresh through Bible reading and prayer. Now, as we come to this final message this morning on the subject of recovery, we're going to speak about yielding our life to the service of Jesus Christ. You see, when someone comes full circle on this road to recovery, God does not intend for them to sit around a table and talk about their problems all day, but God intends for them to go find someone else who's struggling and to help them have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. He intends for all of us to yield ourselves and say, Lord, here am I, use me. A life that is truly recovered from harmful habits and hurts, a life that is recovered from hatred and difficulty, can now become a life of productive service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, one of the reasons that God allows difficulties in our lives, one of the reasons that God allows us to fail in our lives, is so that through His grace, not only can we recover, but we can yield ourselves to His service to help other people recover from their trials and their difficulties. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is sharing about one of the difficulties of his life. It was a physical trial. You'll notice he says in verse number 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, many people have studied this out and believe that Paul had some type of an eye problem, maybe runny eyes, maybe partial blindness. And Paul is saying that God deemed it necessary to allow him a physical infirmity or trial in his life, lest he become filled up about himself or puffed up even with pride. Now, here was a man who was in a difficult situation. You know, sometimes people who have been through terrible or difficult situations often feel as though they are unable to minister as yielded servants unto the Lord. They feel that because of their failure or because of their weakness, they will never be able to serve God in any way. And I want to say to you this morning that while different people have different processes of recovery and restoration, some take a little longer, some a little less time, the fact of the matter is that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And it doesn't matter what your physical trial has been. It doesn't matter what your spiritual trial or temptations have been. God wants to strengthen you and use you in a greater way in the days ahead because of your experience in overcoming that trial and that difficulty. Now notice what he says in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, Jesus speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now please remember this statement. God is not attracted to our strengths. He is attracted to our weaknesses. So if you feel like God could never use me, or I've been such a failure, or I just don't know what someone else knows, you are a prime candidate for God to really use because you recognize your need for God. And God says, my strength is made perfect or made complete in your weakness. You see, when we think we're strong and we've got it all together and we've never had a problem, many times our pride limits God. But when we're willing to admit, boy, I've had some struggles in my own life and I've had to overcome some things in my own life, then God says, good, I can use someone who's humble and who's available in my service. Now, sometimes God has different ways of showing us our weaknesses. I heard about two boys that got into one of those my dad's better than your dad's arguments, you know, and they were out in the playground talking, and one boy bragged and said, my dad could beat up your dad any old day. His little friend thought about it and said, big deal, so can my mom. And sometimes God uses different situations to show us how weak we really are, you know. The fact is we're all weak. The fact is we're all overcoming trials and hurts. The fact is none of us have arrived. And so because of these things, we need to come to grips with, why did God allow this to happen to my child? Why did God allow this to happen in my marriage? Why did God allow this cancer to come to our family? Because my friend, God has a reason. And one of the reasons is to get all of us to yield to be effective servants for Him. Now let's study how affliction relates to being prepared for greater usefulness for God. Let's get God's perspective on it this morning. Notice, first of all, the presence of affliction. The presence of affliction. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now watch this. Paul was an apostle. He was the recipient of direct revelation. Now, we believe today as Christians and as Baptists that the Bible is our final authority. For example, I have never received an inspired revelation from God personally outside of the Bible. If I have anything with authority to say to you today, it must come from the Bible. Okay? But Paul, who was an apostle, did receive such revelations, and he recorded them into the Scriptures. God's Spirit worked through him to give us about 2/3 of the New Testament. But Paul says in verse 7, that just in case he was to get puffed up about receiving all of that revelation and having part in these Scriptures, God gave him an affliction or a thorn in the flesh. In other words, there was a reason for the trial. And Paul referred to this as a thorn in the flesh. You will notice that we are afflicted sometimes also with trials. Sometimes we are afflicted with trials. Yours may not be running eyes. Yours may not be blindness. Yours may be something else. But God has a purpose in your trial. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith, and that's what it is in many cases, to see if you're going to quit on God or if you're going to keep going on for God, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God brings a trial into our lives to prove us and to test us and to see if we're real. And if we're the kind of Christian who, after the first few months of a trial, says, forget it, and we quit, then we are showing that our faith was not real. But God brings the trial of our faith to refine us and to prove Jesus Christ in us. Now, sometimes it's difficult to go through trials, and sometimes we don't like being humbled. I heard about a mom the other day who got a brand new sweater for a gift, and She liked that sweater. She thought she looked nice in that sweater. And her son came in the room. He was 6 years old. He looked at her. He said, "Mom, you look just like the Wheel of Fortune." She said, "Honey, I think you mean I look just like Vanna White." He said, "No, Mom, you look just like the wheel." And sometimes, you know, there can be those moments where we're deflated like that. And trials come. Someone says something against us. Some physical trial comes into our life. But listen, everybody has trials in their lives. Secondly, we are afflicted with temptations. If it's not a trial, then the devil will come with temptations. And he'll try to get someone who's on the road to recovery, someone who's going to church, someone who's really trying to live for the Lord, and he'll try to get them back to the bottle, back to the illicit relationships, back to the internet pornography, whatever it is that he can use just to pull them away from God. Look at what the Bible says in James 1:13. I believe it's in your notes. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." You see, someone's on the road to recovery. Boy, their marriage is getting back together. Things are looking great. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there's a pattern that develops. Watch it. A man is tempted by his own lust. He's enticed. When that lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When that sin is finished, it brings forth death. And a relationship that was almost mended now is just about dead because of the temptation of sin. And so we need to be aware of the fact that when we're trying to live for the Lord, the devil's going to try to tempt us and pull us back every time. Many times as we learn to recover together with God, Satan will try to get us back to that life of anger, back to that life of hatred, back to that life of sin. In fact, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, just a few pages back. Because right now, as we conclude this series on recovery, and many people have said to me, "Boy, God's giving me victory over alcohol. God's giving me victory in my marriage. My attitude towards my wife is right." And many have commented. So let me share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. These two verses, 12 and 13, you ought to underline and mark in your Bible and come back to them from time to time. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he" what? In other words, God says, be careful. You're doing well, but don't get filled with pride. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now watch this. God says, when the trials come, I'll give you grace to endure it. God says, when the temptation comes, I'll show you a back door out if you're looking. I'll convict you. My spirit will say to you, don't watch that. Don't say that. Don't go with those people. I will give you a way of escape when the temptations come. And so we see the presence of affliction. Trials and temptations are common to every Christian here this morning. Notice secondly this morning, the prayer of the afflicted. Now, in verse number 8, go back to 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul says, "I had this trial, this thorn in my flesh." But notice the prayer of the afflicted, verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, two quick things about this prayer. First of all, it was an urgent prayer. Three times he said, "Lord, take away this thorn in my flesh. Lord, please heal my eyes. Lord, help me. Take this trial away from me." The Bible says in James 5:16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so this was an urgent prayer. Some of you have prayed like that. "Lord, heal me. Lord, help me." And Paul prayed that way three times. But notice, secondly, it was an answered prayer. It was an answered prayer. Now someone says, "Wait a minute. God did not heal Paul." Listen, God answers our prayer in different ways. And unlike what some of the televangelists say, it is not always God's will to heal everyone. Because the truth is that Jesus alone is the healer, and the truth is that God heals according to His sovereign will, and we cannot tell God what to do. We can ask Him to do that which is according to His will. Now notice, sometimes we think God doesn't answer our prayer, but He does. Verse 9, He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." You see, sometimes God will heal someone, and sometimes God will give us grace for the trial. I think, for example, we ask God to take away certain sickness. We ask God to take away certain problems. And if He does not, then He says, as He did to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Hebrews chapter 4, He said, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God says, if I don't take away your problem, I'm going to give you a superabundance of energy within your life so that you'll endure through that problem, so that you'll have even joy and strength through the problem. My grace, my inner strength is sufficient for you. Now, God answers prayers differently. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say yes. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say no. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say, "Are you kidding?" Because as James says, we ask amiss. We don't even know what we're asking for, you see. And so God always answers prayer, my friend. And we see this prayer of the afflicted. And Paul said, "God, help me. I've got a trial here." And God says, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, notice the heart of the message as we come to this third point, the purpose of affliction.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
We're excited about the Alaska Cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011, will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.